Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I take a principle from the scripture and I show you how it works and I say, go and try it. Alright? For instance, we spoke about Daniel and I said, Daniel prayed according to the watches. 12 a.m., 3 a.m., 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m. That's how Daniel prayed every 3 hours. Now, for some of us who like to have the kind of experience that Daniel had, now you need to look at that kind of life. Can you live your life like that? Alright? So, it's not a method like that is cast in stone, but it gives you an idea. Alright? It gives you an idea of what you can do. How men of old drew close to God. Alright? And how you can also, by faith, do some of these things and you become close to God. Alright, for instance, because today I'll be speaking briefly on victory over sin. Alright, so I know it's something that you may not hear in Lagos in 15 years because everybody is practically sinning in Lagos. Sometimes even from the traffic, you know, sometimes there are some sins you commit in traffic, you don't even bother asking for forgiveness because you just feel the person deserves it. Like when I was in the north, if somebody does something to you on the expressway, you just do your ally, say shake a damn Uber, babanka, umamanka. You just a light, say kashika. You just begin to curse the person in the name of the Lord. So as foul as and terrible as that is, you know, there's a way you feel good after you do that thing. Like you feel relieved, like, ah, the guy did not go the same way. I released something into his life. So there are some sins like that people don't call. Everybody in Lagos is practically sinning. All you need is for someone to bash your car. Then you will see that old man that you thought had died in Christ will resurrect. So what's the Bible position on, you know, living right? We need to understand what this is. Now, like I said, just because I'm a prophetic preacher and teacher, God has mercifully allowed me to have a strong aversion for heretic teaching, which means if you say something that is not scriptural, I will stop you. And that's why when I talk to those who are in pastors like myself, and they make some statements, you know, I take my time, the way I learn is I take my time to listen to people who speak against something. I want to look at what they are saying from their lenses. I don't just say, Freezer is going to hell. Freezer is not saying the right thing. No, I don't say, I try to listen to Freezer. So, do you know who Freezer is? I try to listen to Freezer. At least let me see what he's saying. Because he's always talking about tight. However, the brother himself wanted to hear somebody on his TV or on his TikTok live. And he charged the person, is it 4 million or something? TikTok that God gave us free. Also, he charged the person like million. So the person had but already paid. He said, no, that one is to register your interest. Maybe 300,000 or something. So you realize that everybody is like saying whatever they want to say because it's convenient for them. Uh-huh. So, and anybody can put a camera in front of him and say whatever because he has 2 MB, on the phone, you know. So I try to listen to what those who oppose what the scripture says. Why are they saying, for instance, don't pay tithe? For instance, for all of you that are here, I'm sure you've heard many people say we should not pay tithe. Alright. So do you have a biblical position, you as a person, forget about me. You as a person, why do you tithe? Like, go home tonight and ask yourself, why do I even tithe? Do you know the principle of tithe actually depicts that? If you earn 200,000, please, are you here now? I want to say something some of you will not like. I'm teaching now. You can see that I'm in Bali. I'm calm. I'm not saying Holy Ghost. I'm just calm. If I earn 200,000, let me explain. Last Sunday when I was preaching, did I say to you that the first child that opened the womb belongs to the Lord? But I didn't come back to finish. I will come back anyway. Which means, when that is a principle, you need to understand. What? Forget about the tithe. Understand the principle. Okay, delete the word tithe from your mind. Just look at the principle. The first belongs to who? Okay, now. So what that means is, if for instance, in relation to my tithe, I earn 200,000, what that principle means is that, because tithe is a system of honor, the book of Proverbs says, honor the Lord. It's not the doctrine. It's honor. It's the same way you get a job, and then you, the first salary, you take it to your parents. Do you understand? It's honor. So when you bring it, then the rest becomes sanctified. So that, how much, what's the tithe of 200? 20,000, right? So what I understand to be my tithe is that before I spend one naira from that money, the first part must go to God. You know, the money was credited into your account. You started spending it. You started doing some things. But you know the tithe was there. I'm showing you different levels of concentration on this matter. As in for me, what I believe is, when I get that money, before I spend one naira or give my wife anything, I will first of all honor. That is the symbol of my honor. That this thing, you will be the first to take out of it. It's not a doctrine. It's a system of honor. That which I am holding, it is because you have blessed me. You have given me the grace to receive this thing. What if I didn't get it? What if I was fired this month? So, the same principle applies to sin. For you to understand why many of us continually struggle with sin is because we really don't understand how sin works, and we don't understand God's position on sin. So, because we don't have so much time, please put this down in your note if you are writing. Sin has already been judged. Sin has already been judged. Now, the word judge is a legal term, which means sin was brought into the court. So, what it means? Please stay with me, and I'm trying to be as basic as possible. So, when you leave here, the message is part of you. Sin has been judged. Where was sin judged? Question. Who can answer me? Where? Sir? Did you say cross? Really? Please, any other answer? Where was sin judged? If you are sure of yourself in Christ. The man of God said, you also said on the cross. Okay. So, who else has something more realistic? All of you want to hide behind those who said, well, you are right. You see, you have to be confident. I just used the thing for you. They were right, but Pastor Paul was right. The man of God, so that means, stay with me. If sin was judged on the cross, and I said to you that the word judge or judgment is a legal term which suggests that a court session was in process. That means sin was brought as the accused. Jesus stood there as what? We don't have a lawyer here. What? So it's let me, because we're online, I don't want to commit legal blunder. But at least we know who the accused is. And we know who the judge is. Judge is the Almighty God, the Father. And sin is the accused. Jesus is the sacrifice. The one who is making the payment and therefore the appeal for our freedom. Are we good so far? So which means when Jesus was on that cross, what was happening in the spirit realm was different. For us, you see all those Pharisees that were saying, see him, if you know you are this, come down. They were the witnesses that came to court. Hey, they say if they knew, they would not have crucified. They didn't know. Everybody was serving God's purpose without knowing. Even the mother came thinking that by crying, they would just release her son to her. By the works of flesh shall no man prevail. So that evidence was thrown out. But when she failed, they told John to take the woman away. But what you saw was a woman crying and Jesus saying to the Apostle John, she's now in your care. But spiritually, what was going on was quite different. They were in a court session. They even tried to make him angry. So that if he says something, the blood that was supposed to redeem us will become contaminated. If you know you are the Son of God, come down and save us. We are just suffering here. See, my blood don't leak, finish. Come down. Somebody was beside him who actually was a criminal. Also condemning. Do you understand that he that knew no sin became sin for us? Jesus was so sinful that day that even the sinful man accused him. But you see, you went to Bible school, you went to theology school, and all they told you was what happened on the cross. We are looking at the spiritual version. What was actually happened in the spiritual realm. And you also realize that at some point, I'm paraphrasing this is a movie, right? Our Lord Jesus cried out and said, are you seeing this thing in a new light? He said, my father, why hast thou? So he saw that the case was now against him. So Jesus needed to become the accused. Not like he was trying to help us. There's a way. Have you ever had an issue with somebody and when the people started arguing, you now start feeling like, am I the one?
Yes.
Wait, what did I say? Wait. You got to him like, Is it, you try to play the scenario like, I don't know what I did wrong. But everybody kept saying, you are the one. So, our Lord Jesus cried out. So you realize that it was a real session. They were not acting. For the first time in the life of Jesus, he felt rejected by his father. Jesus has never been without the presence of his father. That was the first time. He was not, some of us who have not been close to God for 200 years now, and we are not aware. Just one day, Jesus knew something, like, Jesus now, it's like inheriting the malaria for everybody in the world. On one head, he said, this one is not 2+, so. This thing that I'm seeing, it has gone beyond the scale. You are so sick, oh. Then they check for HIV. Sir, where are you coming from? HIV full your body. Kidney failure. Heart failure. Arthritis. Spiritual causes. The Bible says, that he was bruised. He really died though. Forget the fact that he resurrected. He really died. The way he died, the Bible said there was no form of comeliness. Do you know what it means? Have you seen somebody that is very attractive? Okay, let me use you as an example. You know how pretty you normally look when you are fine. Then when you now have one small malaria, you now become so lean. Are you here now? You now start looking at the same way that, Then if you are like me, stop looking at the mirror. See somebody outside says, ah, pastor, it's like you're adding weight. Then I'll go back and look at the mirror. So you can imagine one man spiritually bearing the sin of the old world, that by the time he died, he didn't die like a hero. Just imagine anything terrible. That was how he died. He said to his father, my father, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't plain. At that moment, when the full judgment was released, because what happened is that the sentence was passed and he was guilty. Hello? The sentence was passed and the Son of God was guilty. The moment God, his father, stepped back and hit that gavel, he turned his back on his son. That was when Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? Ah, Baba. You know, for no doer like this. So you tell me when I come down, I know tell me like this go be. Like, it was very painful, like, wow. Now like this I go go. So he literally died in that state. But you see, there was a declaration of faith that came in at the last minute, which is where I want to introduce my topic. Are you blessed? Just as he was about to die, he used his last ounce of strength. Well, before then, he said he was thirsty. And then a soldier came and pierced his side. Blood and water what flowed. Which also has a spiritual significance. Huh? That is spiritual significance, but not for today. And in that moment, the scripture tells us that that man who struck him had a revelation and he said, truly, this man is not a sinner. He's the Son of God. Are we together? So when he struck him, he had a revelation. Something occurred to him. He saw something every other person around did not see. When he pierced him, something happened to him. Church history tells us, I say church history, tells us that that young officer is Cornelius, who later became a high ranking officer. Are you still here? So, when you see a Roman soldier that serves God, the God of the Jews, more than the Jews, he must have seen something. Yes, because Romans come to every nation with their own gods. So why is it that if truly sin was judged and sentenced, why are believers struggling with sin? Let me put it this way. If you are a Christian, you should not lust after a fellow Christian sister as a brother. If the person is an unbeliever, I will understand. But you see, what is between you and this other person is thicker than the blood that is between you and your natural siblings. You see, so what the devil did was that he removed that sense of brotherhood from us. So instead of, in those days, we used to say, Brother Kehinde, Brother Tunde, then we removed the Kehinde, the brother, leave Kehinde. Then after Kehinde became Kenny. Then Kenny became Ken. We moved from Sister Busayo to Sister Busi. Then from Sister Busi, say Bus. Then it as innocent as it. Now, if you were saved then, in those days, and you attended churches that were very, everybody was a brother and sister, including the pastor, you will find that it was always an abnormality to hear that somebody fornicated. It was not normal. Then, if you were planning to get married, they will ask you direct questions. Have you been close to this sister? Yes or no? Now, we don't ask again. Do you want to know the answer to that question? Do you, you, Pastor, do you really want to know what is going on? These people that are claiming that God told them that they are supposed to, do you really want to know? You that you are asking, do you want them, even the way they answer a question, they are lying. We already know they're saying that. Do you know how many people stood in front of my wife and myself and lied? Until my wife told the person, sit down, you are lying. Before he said, actually, it's just once. Do you know, the natural instinct of a liar is that the first thing he says is not true. A liar, the first thing he will tell you first, is not true. So it's when you press him and press him. It's actually just once. If you hear once, that's five. So the issue of holiness and righteousness, we need to understand it within the context of how salvation was purchased. Because now what we have a lot of people doing is that they are trying so hard to live above sin. God did not call us to try hard. Please pay attention. Now, am I saying that in Christ you have to be perfect? Humanly perfect? No. Now, in the Old Testament, who did Paul use as his standard for righteousness? In the Old Testament. Which character in the Old Testament did Paul keep referring to? Abraham. If you read the book of Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, which is where I'm going to sit around very briefly, it was Abraham. So let's read. This foundation is, we have just 20 minutes more. You see that teaching can be very boring. Abi? Okay, we have so many things to read here, but I will encourage you, if you get home, read chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, then end in chapter 8, where Paul now began to speak about having the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if you want to understand sin, then there are different contexts or explanation for sin. There is the practice of sin. There is the sin nature. There is iniquity. Did I explain iniquity here before? Who has forgotten? Iniquity is different from sin. But it's a general word. Like sin is a general word which covers iniquity. But iniquity is made up of a unique combination. So we have the sin nature. Sin nature is that you are born like this. Huh? A goat must bleat. A dog must bark. Humans must talk or speak. So that's the nature. So when Jesus died, what he took away from us was the nature of sin, not the practice. Please pay attention. Which is why many Christians can be speaking in tongues and they are lying like this. Even those people say, Satan and the Holy Spirit say, even me that I'm the father of lie, I've never lied like this before. Let's just hand over the position of Satan to this guy because he's doing a better job. Some people, when they lie in the Holy Ghost, like they lie. So while I was praying, the Holy Ghost, like, this guy's not prayed in 3 days. So there's the sin nature, which is what came upon mankind when Adam sinned. Which means everybody born into this world is a child of Satan without committing sin. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're a child of Satan. I know you're a reverend, but you're a child of Satan. Some people confuse church attendance and church. See the way I'm even laughing. They confuse church attendance with the idea that they are going to heaven. Some people are going from church to hell. I'm telling you. This thing I'm saying, Many people will be angry at me, but they should not be angry. It's just the word of God. Sin nature is what we inherited from Adam. Huh? The divine nature is what we inherited from Jesus. There's something that's called the practice of sin. It's also sin. But this is the one Paul, if Christians can even fall into this category. John was talking about this in 1 John. He said, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not you. John was not talking to unbelievers. Hello? He said, but if you confess your sin, say we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, huh? Whose blood is able to cleanse us. So, even though that scripture can apply to unbelievers, but it's very possible for me as a Christian to sin against God by sinning against you. That's why Paul was teaching us, are you here? Paul said, do not owe yourselves anything but to love one another. So that thing that you are saying about that sister, that is just an advice, but you didn't tell her, you told somebody else. I hope you know that's gossip. So you are sinning against your fellow sister. That is why the next day when you wanted to pray, you noticed you were not flowing. There was judgment placed on you for castigating your fellow believer in Christ. Most people don't know why they are depressed. They think it's the devil. No! You gave right to the devil when you spoke against your brother. If you know these things, you will not allow anybody bring you into gossip. Pastor's message is always too long. Are you here to look at the war clock, or are you here to be blessed? When you go to the embassy, or you go to the hospital, or you go to your filling station and queue, don't you queue for 7 hours? And you buy fire, still saying thank you, thank you, thank you. They are just deceiving themselves. So there's practice of sin. Christians can fall into this, but we ought not to. So what John is saying is that the moment you find that you have sinned, don't stay 1 second longer. Go to God and repent. And if that matter involves a person, reach out to the person. The third one is iniquity. Iniquity is very dangerous. Because the nature of iniquity, from the word that was from where it was translated, iniquity, is like a fish. The word is fish hook. Huh? There are three words. Huh? That are translated that they bring together to form iniquity. So one means to gaze. So I'm looking at this lady now. My eyes are on her. Then, while I'm staring at her, it's like a fisherman who has something on the fish hook, drops it into the water. The moment the eyes of the fish sees that thing, he becomes controlled. I must get there. The moment he puts his mouth on that hook, he can't come out again. So that is the original translation of iniquity. It's something that you look at, then he hooks you and refuses to let you go. That's the nature. That's why I say iniquity is even more dangerous. Which is why you notice that no matter how spiritual you are, if you start watching certain movies, something happens to your spiritual life. Even becoming from 7 days fasting and prayer. There are some people you must not see after you finish fasting for 2 weeks. Don't see them. Don't see Neka. Do you understand? Because you have anointing over Busayo and Tina. But you know Neka. There's something about Neka. She just controls you. And you are begging God for something. Ineka is always calling. Ineka is not the person you should be saying, I just finished the fasting and prayer. I'm coming. No. Because even if you don't commit sin, the fact that the kind of thoughts that will be going on in your mind, you have destroyed 14 days of fasting. So just let her be there. Block her temporarily. It's network. It's network. If you tell her, if you come to me and say, Pastor, I say, don't worry, I will tell God that she will remove that lie. Is it because of Ineka? I say, don't worry, I will tell God they will cancel that lie. Because this Ineka will destroy you. So Ineka is like the hook of that fish. Once he hooks you, it becomes you struggle. Every time you struggle, the thing is going deeper and deeper and deeper. Your best option is not to be there. That's why Paul said flee. The antidote to fornication is flee, not pray. Say flee, 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 flee. So let's look again very briefly, Romans chapter 6. I don't know, maybe this should be, let me just jump quickly. This is like a robust teaching on the subject of sin. So I hope somebody will get blessed. Yeah. So I've told you sin, sin nature, iniquity. I've also told you sin is judged. So, okay, I'm looking for the verse that says, reckon yourselves dead. Is it verse? If you are using King James, please scan through chapter 6. Is this 6:10, 6:14? Verse 11. Now, let's look at Romans 6:11. Likewise, okay, read verse 10 before we come here so I will get a context. For in that he died, who is he talking about here?
Jesus.
He died unto sin how many times? So, please, for those of you that think Jesus is that guy on that calendar in your parents' house that looks very fine. They even gave him one nice towel or something. News alert. That's not Jesus. That's the one they painted for you. The man that died was naked, disgraced. You don't want to be in that situation. No? After raising the dead and showing people you are powerful. You know what it means when the powerful man is disgraced from the office? This Jesus had every reason on that cross to be offended. Because some of the people there, he healed them. Everybody there knew the truth. Except that he was spoiling their business. That also. He said, when he died once, but in that he lives unto who? Unto God. Now, next verse. Actually, you should take this chapter from verse chapter 4 and be taking it one after the other. But you people will not come to church again because you won't like this kind of message. Likewise, say likewise.
Likewise.
Please pay attention. When you see the word likewise, what he's saying that if it is in this manner, then this also should be in that manner. If A is in this manner, likewise, it means B should be after the order of A. Likewise, you, come on, say you. Okay, say me. Me, who was, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Now, if you, give me a New King James, because this one now will break some people's teeth. Please remember that in verse 10, the scripture said he died once. The scripture now said, do you have New King James, if you can? He said, you reckon. What does the word reckon mean?
Consider.
Any other word? Attribute.
In the same way.
Associate. In the same way. Allocate. Therefore, consider yourselves to be what? What's the next word? Indeed. To what? But alive. To God. In Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at the 10th verse, what did he tell us? He said Jesus died once unto sin, but is now alive unto God. But he's telling us that you, those of you that are human beings that are alive, he didn't say die, he said reckon. Please, do you understand what this means? No, you don't. Let me explain. Are you here? This is the key to deliverance. So after this one, you'll not need deliverance again. What Jesus was saying was that what I did was so powerful, was so strong, it paid for everything. So your spirit is already saved when you come to me. Your spirit, to be spiritually alive means to be connected to God. It means to have a relationship with God. It means to be able to have fellowship with God. It means you are God's child. But you see, in my mind, I still have a lot of those baggages I carried and I inherited from my parents, or things that I have grown over time to and accustomed to doing that may be wrong. So every time I come to church and I hear the pastor say, righteousness, holiness, without which, I always feel bad, because I feel like when I'm in the church, I am holy. When I go back to my neighborhood, I'm not able to control the way I behave in certain environments. I behave like I am not a Christian. Huh? Paul says, please follow the scripture. He says, you are now alive to God in Christ. Therefore, you must consider yourselves. What part of us should we consider dead? Huh? He said, please understand the context. Paul said, just as Jesus died once and is now alive unto God, you also, put up that scripture. They need the scripture more than my face. Likewise, the same way Jesus died to sin and is now alive to God, you too, from today, every time you look in the mirror, see that you are dead. The concept of being dead to sin is a spiritual concept. But because you have another part of your life that is human, that is emotional, a lot of times you will feel like that is not you. You are a liar. You are an impostor. Because you still did some things. You lost your temper. You almost locked the door in Kechi when you went to our house. You did some things. You are supposed to be a Christian. Paul said, your spirit has agreed with the fact that you are alive, but your soul has not agreed. It's like you have not gotten it. So your soul must be introduced to new knowledge. The word consider means that from today, if they tell you, if they ask, why not the one that we used to see robbing people on the street? You will say, that man is dead. Physically, did that man die? But spiritually, the man is dead and is in Christ. But Jesus says, when you go out, if they say, are you not the one that came here for abortion? Say, no, that Antonia is dead. That's what this scripture means. That when you look yourself in the mirror and you look at all these sins that are holding you and you are unable to rise above them, tell yourself, if I am dead, I no longer have appetite for sin. Dead people don't eat. Dead people don't fornicate. Dead people don't steal. Dead people don't touch what's not there. Paul said, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am dead. Because that is your true state spiritually. You are dead to sin. He said, but if you keep seeing yourself like, oh, I'm alive in Christ, there's a conflict somewhere, you will continue to struggle and grace will not be available, because you will always try to live righteously in your own strength. And Paul says you cannot do that. For the power of Christ to be revealed in you, you must stop struggling with sin. And dead people don't struggle. So stop trying to not fornicate. That's what he's saying. It's just as though you see someone that is in the swimming pool or in the river and is trying to drown or is trying to kill himself, and you are trying to help him. While he's splashing the water, expert says don't go close to him, because he's frantic, he's confused. While he's trying to raise his hand and beat the water, if you are not trained, he will drag you down with him. So the first thing they say to you is, calm down, don't fight with the water, just stay. Just calm down. We can't help you until you calm down. The power of the gospel cannot be revealed until you calm down. It is this same scripture that establishes your healing. That you should no longer consider yourselves righteous simply because you feel it.
Because dead people don't feel nothing. Many of us are trying to feel, to believe. Jesus said, no, believe first to feel. Believe. Because your feelings are a lie. Your feelings are a lie. Your feelings are not real. You are healed. But your feelings will tell you that, oh, because you are still feeling the fever. No, your feelings are a lie. Paul said, consider yourselves dead. Dead people don't have HIV. This matter of consideration is the primary reason why a lot of people are not able to live above sin. They struggle with it. And anytime they overcome it, they feel like they've achieved something. God didn't send you to struggle. God said, consider yourself dead. So what happens to me when I consider myself dead? God will begin to show you the trigger point. For instance, let me just throw this to you. If you are struggling with your feelings for a particular guy, have you noticed that sometimes when you are at the office and you are so busy, like maybe you guys have a project or you are doing something for like a week, you are so busy, you don't think about the guy because you are overwhelmed. So there is an emotional gap. There is a space in your mind. And anytime you are relaxed, the thoughts that you like will start coming to you. But when you have something that you are occupied with, it pushes all the unnecessary things out. Which is why Romans 12 verse 2 says, we must renew our minds by the word of God. In fact, Colossians says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. When you think you are satisfied, now top it up richly. So that there is no space for the flesh. Over time, you will now find your soul looking like your spirit. Your soul will also be choosing righteousness. You will see a sister say, no, that's no. This is not because I'm trying to be spiritual. I can't do this. You will see a brother saying, I can't do this. His spirit has, and his soul have grown in that aspect. That no matter what you offer them, they will not take it. But you know that even though you are saying, no, what I used to do before, I do them no more. What I used to smoke, I smoke no more. When I used to drink, I drink no more. But as it relates to Ineka. So you now realize that the reason why many of us cannot live above sin is because we love our sin. That's why we cannot reckon ourselves dead in that area. Because there is something about that thing that makes us feel alive. If you've been a club person, like regular, like every weekend, club. They are not telling you that, now that you're in Christ, Friday we have prayer meeting, Saturday we have choir practice. You're like, like we even have prayer for revival, Saturday evening, then Sunday, we'll come for prayer meeting before service time. He says, this is how people are doing it. Meanwhile, in those days, from office, everything to you, that's what you will do till like 3 a.m. Whoever is sober will bring everybody home. Nothing to you, when you do, then you use your Saturday to get out of your hangover. And then Sunday, you just put on DSTV. Who they play match? Call your dry cleaner. Where am I close for Monday? So, it takes a whole lot trying to tell that person that coming to God's house is beautiful. Because that part of him is alive. Yes, he has accepted Christ too. But don't tempt him and tell him that his favorite artist is coming to that club. Because he has not gotten over that part of himself. Even though he's in Christ, but the taste buds of the soul, the tongue of the soul still understands egusi and ewedu and begiri. Those are the musicians. That's why even for many of you, even though you are in Christ, if you notice that whenever you are praising God, you dance like those in the world. Okay, I rest my case. Cut. Verse 12. Let's round up. So I don't know, should we continue this series? Because I think people are not even liking you. They're just looking at me like I'm the one that put you in trouble. Go and hold Adam and Eve that I ate whatever they ate. Now look at verse 12. Now this is the way I read the Bible. I read it, I play with it. Like, now it says therefore. You see the word therefore is very significant. If you see therefore, you have to go back to 11 and say, why is he saying therefore? If in verse 11 he already said to us that we should consider ourselves what? Dead to sin, but alive unto Christ, unto God in Christ. He said, therefore, do not give permission. That means if there is a sin in my life, somebody permitted it to be there. Because when I came to Christ, God gave me authority first over myself to be able to say no more to sin. Which means if over time I find myself in that situation where I cannot even say no again, that means there's somebody sitting in that chair and it's not me and it's not the Holy Spirit. He said, therefore, do not let sin do what? The word reign speaks about a throne. The word reign means that there is a king in my soul. That king may be different from the person that saved my soul and my spirit from sin. In that soul, in that emotion, will, subconscious, imagination, thought patterns, there could be another chair there and somebody else is sitting there. And Paul said, therefore, since you have authority, you have died, you have had the same experience Jesus had, you have died and you've resurrected, therefore do not let sin rule. The word reign there is rule in your mortal body. So where do you find sin trying to administer its government? Can you see it on the screen? Can you see that all the problems you have that you ever had was because your body got you into trouble? You are remembering some things. I know Jesus has forgotten, but you still remember. Are you remembering that the day you lost your temper, it was because something happened? Somebody said, kept talking until he provoked you. Huh? Say you are remembering. The day you knew, the Holy Spirit was telling you, don't go to Tonyet house. And you still wore your slippers. I say you are remembering. You remember, Abby? Okay, your own was Tunde. So you are going to Tunde's house. And you know, there's a way, did that quiet voice just say, you know you should not go here. But you don't. A lady said to me, he said, I knew what was going to happen before I got there. He said, I knew. It just occurred to me that it's like all of us usually know. I thought I was the only one who knew. But when this very Christian lady said to me that, say, Pastor, before I left my house, I knew what will happen when I get there. And I just told myself, let it happen. I said, wow. So I just did like, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In my mind, like, as if I'm spiritual. But what was really going on in my mind was, I thought I was the only one. So it's actually, we all know, when you are going to his house, when Tonye was going to Emeka's house, she knew that something could happen. But she went and made it look like it was CD she came to collect. She came to collect her Babu. Okay, she wanted to find out how to we'll do that assignment. She knew. The day Chukwuemeka too was saying, why not come over, let's talk about it. He knew. Sin was reigning in our mortal bodies. Please put up that scripture. This is why, so he said, therefore, do not let sin reign. So this is where the battle is now. He said, and how, you know, I asked you a question. I said, how does sin, where does sin carry out its administration? And we said the mortal body. How does he do it? Through lust. The thing about lust is that because your lust is usually something you like. Are you with me? Your lust is your own. It's not my own. Because we like different things. So it's your lust. Eh? Don't look at me. It's your lust. Eh? Will Satan ever come to you directly and say, disobey God? How did he deceive Eve? He spoke to Eve until Eve saw that the fruit was good for food, like it was beautiful. That is the transaction of lust. Satan, he say, oh devil, he has The way we are also having AI and everything, they too, they are upgrading. Satan will never come to you and say, in fact, he has never done it. Oh, yeah, come and see. Yeah, no. He will show you the benefit. It's been a while. You've been a Christian for so long. You need to release some of the energy pent up. It will be, you, do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, all of you are looking at me like I'm the only one that is in sin. It will rationalize. It's just like, whoa. I was talking to one music minister. So we're talking about the one minister, popular music minister that had issues before he died. So I was now talking and I said, this matter that happened though. And this lady doesn't wear earrings, she doesn't wear jewelry. So I thought I was talking to a Christian. She's a Christian, no? But in terms of her response, do you know what she said to me? So she said in Yoruba, Kayema Muwa. Do you understand that one? We were talking about how somebody fell into sin. Eh? So me, I was comfortable talking to her because she's a Christian. In fact, she seems to be a better Christian because she's going to all those churches where they don't wear earrings. She doesn't have holes here. She doesn't know. And she's very okay. She's not moved. So me talking to her, I was expecting to hear, that's why we have to be accountable. We have to be holy. We have to be careful. Those are the things I was, so that me, I will not feel bad. Benga, you need to work on yourself. The sister, this word, no catch us. Say, you get where the thing go hold you. You will just fornicate. That's the meaning of what she said in Yoruba, that, make this thing know you for wrong place. That this, we should just leave this brother, that God will have mercy on you. So that's the I realized that, so I just picked my remaining books and Bible. I said, it's like, we have class. Because then I realized that I'm not even safe with you. You that I thought my Christian life was safe with you, you told me that if the thing hold us for conduct, that's how I carry my Bible worker. So you can't say somebody's living above lust because she's not wearing earring. In fact, most of them could be struggling more. And this is not for you to say you will not have those experiences. This is to tell you that Jesus said, as long as you don't allow it to rain, it will not have power. And one of the ways to prevent, put up that scripture, one of the strongest ways to prevent sin from raining, number one is to reckon yourself dead. What does it mean to reckon yourself dead? Don't think about it. If you heard this one. Personally, I realized that I have tested it. Anytime I deliberately refuse to think about certain things, it lost power over me. Please, are you here? The scripture says, do not let sin reign. And that sin reigns by convincing us to yield to lust. Those things we call lust, how do they operate in us? Thoughts. Imaginations. So if I renew my mind according to God's word and only think righteous thoughts and only visualize righteous things, what happens to the throne of sin? It's thrown away. I will have to isolate myself from anything that makes me remember that I am alive. Anything I'm remembering should tell me I'm dead. Dead to sin. Because dead people can't steal money in Asurok. I want you to process what I'm saying. The administration of sin is in our mortal body. This flesh. And it does it through lust. Lust here means things we desire. Unhealthy desire for money. For women. Men. Whatever it is, they are categorized as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Whatever that thing is, Paul tells us in
Romans chapter 6, that the administration of those things will be through lust. And how do we understand the technology of lust? Through thoughts. So Satan will tell you, did God say you should not eat? Satan didn't say eat or don't eat. He just raised a question mark. What if you do it? Why, who told you everybody is living only like you? God will forgive. Is this how you want to do? You now marry. And you only one man in your life throughout. And the man can even turn out to be a useless man. So the devil will start putting thoughts. You begin to rationalize. He didn't ask you to sin. But you see, those thoughts are now seeds. You begin to blow it quietly. When it gets you to a point, all your unbelieving friends that have forgot you start chatting. How fun, it's been a while. We say, I'm funny enough, I'm in your area. We just drove past here. Okay, let's just stop by briefly. You're in trouble. The way to dismantle the technology of sin is to live a clean thought life. Put barriers. What's the book of Proverbs telling us? Say, guard your heart. So that means if there's anything, instead of fighting your neighbor over the loud music he's playing, and the other one, who has that engine for blending tomatoes, God said, leave them. Bring that energy together and put barrier. Put barrier. Just tell yourself. Say, you know what happened the last time you had something like this? You are disconnected for 3 weeks. Can you afford it? And you knew. Because all the problems you started facing there, you could not pray because you know you are in sin. Can you say, hey, so put a barrier there. You raise block. Anytime you see Nkechi, just be seeing HIV. See demon possession. See all kind of things that will happen to you. So you build on that barrier. Anytime I hear, I will not go to church today, I will join online. Raise a barrier. How many of you know that many times, when you don't go, is when something will happen? So you raise a barrier. So those things, over time, when they have been there, they become very strong defenses. Then, you're now behind you. Once you feel that these three barriers are coming down, call Busayo. Call, what's your name again? Anywaju, then call, you will call three people. Three of them, all their phones cannot be off. If the three phones are off, it's an attack. Start running. Start running to church. Even if you don't see bus, be running on the express. Once you call Busayo, call three of them. And it means a real attack. Don't call again. Just start running. Leave that place. Start running. Paul said, flee. Don't pray. Flee. And it's important to flee. And flee well. Because I hope you know it was the coat that Joseph left behind that was the evidence against him. The coat he left. The idiot should have managed to hold the coat. Because now even if he goes to say, it's Eliza, what's your coat doing in my room? You even forgot yourself, left your coat on my bed. And you say nothing happened. That means you forgot, you enjoy yourself somewhere, you forgot, you not even forgot your slippers, forgot everything. I better take this bag out to the prison. This one that said it's not the one. Is this not the coat you normally wear? When did you start bringing your coat to my room? You are a criminal. Arrest him. So, the devil is very smart. Most times you will forget something, so don't even go. Don't go. And pray for grace not to go. Put up that scripture one more time. So I want you to see something here that despite these things that you are seeing pertains to God helping you appreciate what he has done already and telling you that you already have the power. But that muscle has not been trained for most of us. In fact, when you find somebody who says,
Somebody tried to seduce me. One brother, I overcame him. I prayed against him. I sent him. It's because that brother is not your spec. Are you still here? People say I should teach. I'm teaching now. So when we come back, if the Lord permits, we will consider some more verses, like the 16th verse. Just put it up. I won't explain it. Put verse 16 up there. 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, you are servants to obey." So the whole idea of what we've been saying is, it's not for you to be proving that, oh, you overcame sin. It's about taking that your stubborn, riotous nature, bringing it to the knees of Jesus. Over time. You know, that your, do you know that your, some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. Let me give you a good and easy example now. If you don't understand this example, that means you're already a spirit. You are no more here. When you tried to pray last week, did you feel any resistance? You told yourself you are going to pray. It was as if the clock started moving very slowly. You didn't feel like praying, like, yeah, I just want to wait on God. After 5 minutes, Even I've been a Christian for so long, I still have the experience. So don't even think that maybe when you become matured, until you die. Every time you tell yourself, I'm going to pray for 3 hours. You see that war clock, you know you are watching, you are on episode 45 now. On that South African movie. And you did not know. Each episode was 45 minutes. And you just on one sitting. Overnight. Me and my wife and I, we did one of our favorite movies. Overnight, we just sat down in the chair. We were watching it, having a good time. We did not pray. We did not know that. I just said, Emma, do you know it's like 4 a.m.? Now there they see you. Now there we go, they see you. Hey, do you know it's 4 a.m.? But when the day you tell yourself, I want to take this weekend. Pastor say once every quarter, I should wait on the Lord. You see, even you are dreading the prayer because you know what will happen. You are the one that will run away because you don't have the mind. You convince yourself you will pray. But even your mind, like, 3 hours. So that thing that made you feel like, and God so good that your work clock, if God wants to catch you, the battery will not stop working. All this noise. 10 minutes. You see, that thing that is telling you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, is the guy we are trying to deal with. So for you to pray, reckon yourself dead. For you to be able to pray, reckon yourself. If not, you can't pray 3 hours. And if you pray 3 hours, you will come out boasting. Yeah. The grace of God will only come upon you when you reckon yourself dead. Reckoning yourself dead is that just as Jesus was raised up by the Spirit of Holiness, when God sees how you have decided to reckon yourself dead like Jesus did, the power of resurrection will now give you life. Therefore, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Give me Romans 8:1. Let's end here. There is therefore now no condemnation. This scripture, you need to come from chapter 4, chapter 5 to understand what they are saying here. But let me just allow you to give it whatever interpretation you like. Because some of you have been interpreting this thing the way you lie for 45 years now. But look at this. Based on what we have been saying, this word condemnation is also a judicial and legal term. To say someone is condemned, that means you are a condemned criminal. Paul is now saying that when you have gone through all these processes up to chapters 7 and the last verse, and you come to chapter 8, say when you stand before God, do you know that Abraham... Abraham believed God. It was imputed as righteous. Was Abraham committing sin? Did God talk about his sin?
I told her, I said, sin is judged. Huh? God, even after you become a Christian, you will make mistake. Huh? I didn't say you sin. I say you make mistake. Huh? You can receive wrong advice. The way Abraham received wrong advice. And we are still dealing with the problem today. God forgave Abraham, but the mistake is still here. We are the one dealing with it. The man is dead. Meanwhile, some people don't believe there's a foundational problem in their family. The one Abraham did, the father of faith, that God said we should look like. The man that God said we should look like, we should copy. See the mistake he created. Meanwhile, if you go to heaven today, that mistake will never be made reference to. That thing between him and Hagar, God will never talk about it. Because Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him. As what? That means the apart from what Jesus did, I must deliberately identify with what he did. And the moment I take my position and say, I believe that I cannot save myself. I believe that what you have done is the answer, the solution to my freedom and deliverance from sin and to have a relationship with you. I agree with the terms of this covenant and I yield myself to this covenant. Boom! They don't eat the thing. Righteous, stand. So who can bring a charge against God's elect? Nobody. Say it is God that justifies. So Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He will keep bringing all the things you've done before. But what is the verdict over your life? Righteous. So you cannot be righteous by doing good works. We are righteous by faith. But that faith is not without understanding. That faith is not without... You must understand what Jesus did for that faith to deliver. That's why some people will come out 10 times. I give my life to Christ. They are going straight back into sin. And if they die, they will go to hell. Even though they came out today. It's not just by what you say. Do you understand what this thing means? Do you understand that you can say no to sin? I struggled with this thing for years. The person preaching to you, I struggled with it for years because I thought I was supposed to feel something. It took me a long time to realize that God didn't ask me to feel. He asked me to believe. The day I believed was the day I started seeing visions. I didn't pray for it. I started seeing visions, which means I was born again all the while that I accepted Jesus. But I used to listen to the testimonies of other people. When I came to Christ, I had joy. Ah, my spirit became, But me, when I came to Christ, I see, outside I still fought with somebody. God, he pulled my shirt. Are you my wife? And say, I thought when you give life, everything should just change. But some of us, we are street boys. I was still telling, in the barrack, you say your pa, your ma, that's how we greet ourselves. We were still greeting ourselves like your papa, your mama, is greeting, it's not abuse. But those other people, Sister Folaka, is when you can say, last night, I the Holy Spirit even woke me. I see. Isn't it the same Jesus all over? Because me, I still fight yesterday. We came out together. I didn't know. I wanted to feel something. I wanted to feel like I have power over sin. I wanted to wait for that day where I will even feel like sinning again. I wanted to wait for the time where the desire is not even there again. I cannot come on the altar and say, brethren, you can live above sin. God helped me. I don't feel like sinning. My brother, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, believe. Don't come and harass anybody and say you don't feel like. We are not looking for feelings. We are not waiting. You may have other problems, which may be reason why you are not feeling anything. That you need to go to a doctor to check. You may not know why you are not feeling anything. Like one brother used to tell me, I gave my life to Christ for 9 years now. I've not been sick. I've not used malaria. I've not the drug. I've not taken pasta. He will say, I'll sit down and I'll be watching. Even me, pastor, I see you tell malaria last week. This one said, he has not tasted pasta. I said, I'll just cack my face. Say, now maybe pastor, I cannot feel bad. Because now I'm supposed to hand over the church to you since you are already working in divine health. Pastor is still using Panadol. Let me allow you be the pastor. So you teach us how you get. Now later I realize, say the brother na AS. AS no they get malaria. I hear the brother na AS. If mosquito chopper, you know they sick. The guy tell us, he tell us, he get divinely. I wanted to hit his head on the wall. So if he ate, me I be any small mosquito like this. Don't let people put you on the scale that doesn't exist. The brother doesn't naturally fall sick. His immunity is very strong. The guy is saying that divinely. The day where I see the medical report, I say, huh? Me, I go fight God. Say, how can the pastor of the church be falling sick? This one say, no, they fall sick. Let me hand over the church to him. God, make I calm down. So I go soon see something. I hear the guy say, the guy, they drink agbo, they drink plenty things. God, you tell me, saying they do divinely. So it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works. You see, the day you enter divine health, you will not even know. You just walk into it. You won't know. You just notice you are not falling sick again. It's not this one that you come and be harassing the pastor of the church. Are you blessed tonight? Come on, say, I'm dead to sin. And I'm alive in Christ. Therefore, sin shall not reign over my mortal body. I have the power to say no to sin because Jesus says so. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for tonight. So go and live righteously. Don't try to. Just live righteously. Don't try. Just live righteously. Let's give an offering to the Lord and we can call it a day.